Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Nats Town. Welcome to another hastily prepared edition of Nats Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports Page and FederalBaseball.com. This is Patrick Reddington from Federal Baseball. I'm still setting things up here, so just give me a second, Doghouse. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Dave, what a disappointing finish.
Nats win.
Apparently. Just give me 1 second. Sorry, that was very last-minute
yeah, no
ish
problem.
There with the walk-off, getting it in on time. So that,
yeah, very disappointing. Echoes of the Zimmerman playoff game from last year where Roark unfortunately came in the 18th and gave up the solo shot.
Yeah, he had six
I'm just all about the bad
time.
Memories and callbacks tonight.
Hasn't pitched since July 4th, comes back out tonight, gives up gets the first two outs. Looks pretty sharp getting those first two outs, but left a slider up for Jonathan Scope. He hits a line drive home run out the left there. Orioles Park at Camden Yards explodes. A big win for the Orioles there. Nats took a 2-1 lead into the eighth, end up dropping a 3-2 decision to the Orioles.
Yeah, well, you can't really be too confident in a 2-1 lead. Orioles Park, you know, nice as it is in its old-timey way, is really kind of a bandbox, especially on a hot night like tonight. It's like playing in Nats Park North. You know, there's really no lead is too large there, especially with those weird AL rules where they get like an extra hitter and you hit off a tee or something. I still don't understand quite how that works. We had two catchers playing tonight. This was really confusing to me. I was hoping to watch a baseball game. But, yeah, I mean, this is for all of it, we wail and gnash our teeth. And believe me, I wailed and gnashed my teeth about the one-run loss here. It's on the bats. You got to score more than this. In a little bandbox like this, no lead is too big. But you can run up a pretty big lead if you try. And with the depleted lineup that Nats are playing with tonight, boy, that's a pretty tough order. I'm glad that that's
ten hits
at some point anyhow.
10 hits, 2 earned runs. They only managed 2 runs on the 10 hits, so it's kind of rough there. You're making your bullpen have to be perfect again, and Gio Gonzalez did all he could, gave up 1 run through 6 innings. We'll get to him in a minute, but just going through the thinking by Matt Williams there at the end of the game, brings on Casey Jansen, gives up a single in the 8th with the Nats still up 2-1 at that point. Chris Parmalee with a bunt, swinging bunt, essentially, reaches base. Jansen gets a line drive out from Adam Jones. Matt Williams goes to the pen for Matt Thornton versus Matt Wieters, who has a .286 average against right-handers, .105 versus left-handers so far this season. So, of course, he doubles to right center there, 2-2 at that point to tie it up. The thinking on Matt Williams' part is right, and I think in this case, but doesn't work out for him this time. What do you think about Matt Williams' decision-making there? Are you happy with the decision and obviously unhappy with the result there? Matt Wieters ties it up in the 8th inning.
Oh, very much unhappy with the result, but I think the thinking is dead on. He's playing the matchups, which is what I've been screaming about all season. We've got a 9-man bullpen now. We don't have to worry about the pitcher spot coming up because of the T-ball league rules. So play as many games as you want to. And he did there, and it didn't work out because baseball, it doesn't always work out, but it was the right move to make.
I was a little worried when he brought Aaron Barrett in the 7th inning, fresh off the DL. Williams goes to him in a 1-run game after a walk by Gio Gonzalez, ends Gonzalez's outing there, and also ends the national streak of 20 straight starts, 20 straight games with 2 walks or less. I can speak, I promise. But back-to-back Ks after that, Barrett strikes out the first 2, throws a wild pitch that moves up a runner in the process, but gets Manny Machado to pop out for the last out of the inning. 14 pitches, 3 outs for the Bear. Slider filthy off the DL tonight. Really solid outing by him before the rest of the Nats bullpen ended up blowing the lead and eventually the game.
Yeah, I'll admit to being plenty nervous myself when Barrett came out, you know, first trip off the DL in a close game like that, fairly late with a man on. But it's against the bottom of the order, except for Machado, of course. And Matt's going to know better than we do how his stuff looks, and it looked good tonight. Him getting Machado to pop up there in the infield, I think, was even better than the 2 strikeouts he got before that. So it was good to see a solid performance out of Barrett there. It's just too bad that we needed, what, like 5 or 6 consecutive solid bullpen performances to hold that game, and we only got 2 or 3. So, you know, what can you do? The Bear ate us tonight.
Yeah, there's not much you can do. The pitchers, for the most part, shut the Orioles offense down. The O's started the game with a .297 average on the year with runners in scoring position, second highest in Major League Baseball, 0-for-5 after Barrett batting in the 7th inning, 0-for-7 on the night. You can't ask for much more than the pitchers, except for maybe a bit better pitch from Tanner Roark on that slider that he left up in the zone. But overall, the bullpen with another solid outing, Gio Gonzalez with another solid start, which we'll get to the details of that in a moment. But basically, what you said earlier, you can't rely on this, a two-run lead in a game in an AL park, and especially one like Orioles Park at Camden Yards, where you can hit a line drive like that out over the left field wall.
Well, we had this game, the loss part of the game basically came down to 2 mistake pitches that turned into solo shots. I mean, granted, the mistake that Gio gave up, that's out anywhere. But the losing run, that was a cheapie. In a lot of other ballparks, that gets caught for the third out. Or at least it's a double off the wall and you get another chance to make the last out. But, it's just tough. The situation that the Nats are in, you're not going to be able to score a lot of runs because your lineup is so, wow. We got Escobar back, so I guess we can celebrate that. But, boy, still missing a lot of big pieces, important pieces for the Nats right now. So you can't even afford those 2 mistakes. Because the pieces you have right now just can't capitalize easily enough on the mistakes that the other team is going to make. And they're going to make mistakes, but if you don't have the guys who can really punish them, well, that doesn't help.
Gio Gonzalez, as we mentioned, took the mound 6-4 on the year, a 4.16 ERA, 3.16 FIP, 3.35 walks per 9, 7.92 K per 9, and 88 in the third innings pitch, two-thirds innings pitch. Held opposing hitters to a .274, .346, .398 line over that first, 16 starts so far this year. Back-to-back wins in his last 2 outings, 2 walks, 1 earned run, and 14 innings pitch coming into tonight's game. Held hitters to a .188, .220, .271 line over that stretch. 3 scoreless to start, but the first pitch of the 4th ends up in the left field seats. Just left a changeup up for Adam Jones, who lined it out there. 74 pitches in 4 innings, a leadoff walk in the 7th ends his outing, but he's given up just 2 earned runs in his last innings pitch, last 20 innings pitch, I should say. 6 innings tonight, 6 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, 5 Ks, ended up throwing 106 pitches, a solid outing by Gio Gonzalez, and really nice way for him to end the first half. He didn't get the win tonight. Obviously, the Nationals blew his lead and then blew the game, but really a nice way for Gio to kind of end the first half after he got off to a shaky start this season.
No, a solid outing and a better outing, I think, than some of the peripherals look like. You know, 9 base runners over 6 innings, that's not the greatest, but only one of them got in, and that was on a solo shot. So Gio had people on every inning, but he was scattering the base runners. The Orioles weren't able to, bunch up some hits and have a big inning. So, for all that he didn't strike everyone out in that he had less than a strikeout per inning and that he gave up 3 walks, which I'm shaking my fists here. You can't see it on the internet. But, had good results. You know, if you want to haul out the cliche about soldiering through when you don't have your best stuff, I think he only touched 92 a couple of times maybe. His fastball was sitting 91, and I think it was down in the high 80s by the 6th inning. So he certainly wasn't looking terribly fresh out there, but he was effective enough and soldiered his way through it.
Chris Tillman on the mound for the O's took the mound with a 6-start win unbeaten streak, 4.94 ERA, .285, .328, .447 line in 31 innings over that stretch, .486 ERA, .284, .533, .567 line in 16 2/3 innings pitch against the Nats in his career. 1 hitter through 4, but the Nats connect for 4 hits and 2 earned runs in the 5th. A double by Tyler Moore, RBI single by Michael A. Taylor, 2-1 at that point. He ends up going 6 innings, 8 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 6 Ks. But the Nats bench players, once again, well, I guess Michael Taylor's not a bench player at this point, but he was supposed to be at the start of the season. But Tyler Moore and Michael Taylor come up big there. Tyler Moore with an opposite field double to drive in the first run, and Michael A. Taylor singles to left. A misplay by Nolan Reinhold in left field allows Moore to score from second. The Nats take a lead there. So decent start by Tillman. He added breaking ball work and got Bryce Harper swinging a couple times. Looked decent on the mound, but the Nats finally got to him in the fifth there.
Yeah, and if you look at his pitching line on the night, his peripherals were actually much stronger than Gio's. But he allowed 9 base runners, although he had 6 strikeouts, you know, same as Gio did, 9 runners in 6 innings. But he got hit for 2 runs. And if it weren't for Jose Lobaton hitting into double plays at every possible opportunity, you know, he probably would have given up more than 2. You know, the Nats could have tagged him for 3 or 4, which could conceivably have led us to still ongoing baseball or dare I say it, even a win. But, yeah, Tillman, solid outing. The Nats didn't do a lot with him, but they had their chances. And tonight they couldn't capitalize because, you know, in spite of having 2 catchers in the lineup, they really don't have their heavy hitters available in there.
Well, we're speaking about 2 catchers in the lineup. I'll go to the trivia question you're never going to answer in a million years. But the first part of it is what the blank is a DH. For bonus points, if you can tell me who the Nats first DH. That is correct. Ding, ding, ding. But for a bonus point, if you can tell me who the Nationals' first DH was, I'll let you take over the site completely and quit tonight. 2005, first game they played against the Blue Jays in the Rogers Center, they had their first DH.
Well, I have to guess Brad Smaller Dunn Wilkerson.
It is not Brad Wilkerson. I had to look this one up because I never would have guessed. Jeffrey Hammond was the first Nationals DH in D.C. baseball, the third version of D.C. baseball history. Exactly. Jeffrey Hammond got the DH role in their first game. So, unfortunately for everyone, I stay in control of federal baseball for now. Getting back to tonight's game.
There.
And the action before tonight's game, we got the news, fans of the DL, no structural damage in his back that's been acting up. He's DL'd retroactive to July 7th, so he'll miss less time than he normally would have if it was during the season, you know, not over the All-Star break. And while they're playing games every day, he should be able to come back and just miss a 4 or 5 games, it looks like. So good news mostly for Denard's fan, but no structural damage. They're trying to let him rest and get those back spasms calmed down so Denard's fan can keep doing what he's been doing this season when he's healthy.
Yeah, I think we all kind of saw this coming because, I don't know if this is fortunate or unfortunate. It seems like a lot of the Nats players are just getting these crazy injuries that just you need rest to heal them. You know, the oblique strains, the back problems, the quad injury, the way you get over it is you don't do anything for a while, you know, which is frustrating because it's hard to stay fresh when the prescription is rest, so you don't further aggravate it. But it's not a tear. It's not surgery. It's not something more severe. So, good. I guess the DL move means that, you know, as you pointed out, it's less of an impact because Span probably wasn't going to play between now and the break, but it means we miss him for a few games after the break. But okay, we get Difo up here to see if he can hit another towering foul ball up into section 310.
That is his one shining accomplishment so far in the major leagues. Hopefully there'll be more to come in his career. But Aaron Barrett back today, the other roster move, Jordan Zimmermann on the paternity list, even though he's apparently going to come back tomorrow and pitch against the Orioles after one day off. But there's been some chatter this weekend. A lot of people are starting to write their pre-trade deadline posts about what people are looking for. Both Jim Bowden on ESPN, John Heyman on CBS Sports talked about the Nationals being after back end of the bullpen arms. Heyman also mentioned asking about starters, but I'm not quite sure how that would work if they brought one in and everyone's healthy. But do you think they need those a veteran back of the bullpen arm? Do you like them having Barrett and Trinan, Roark in the back of the bullpen, all of them getting a little more experience going forward here? And using them instead of going out there and trading for a veteran and bringing someone in?
Well, you look at the bullpen, and you've got a lot of younger guys, some with very electric stuff. You have Roark, probably one of the more experienced guys there next to Soren and Thornton, except his stuff not quite so electric. Maybe you'd like someone more lights out, someone, you know, a big name. You trade the entire farm system for Aroldis Chapman or something. But at this point, I don't really see an improvement to make. You know, Carpenter is solid. He's going to be back. Going into the stretch, all right, the bullpen's not outstanding, but it's not bad. It's not a big weakness. It's just a weakness compared to the starting rotation. And at this point, it's certainly a strength compared to the lineup. So I think I'm not as canny or as well-versed as Rizzo is, so I'm sure he could pull some move that would surprise us, possibly even after the trade deadline like he did with Suzuki a few years ago. But I see the bullpen as good enough to get to the playoffs and maybe even make some progress there. You know, not guaranteed certainly, but you know, people have done more with less.
Yeah, I tend to agree, and then think to myself, yes, everyone also thought the rotation was plenty good before they went out and signed Max Scherzer too. So not putting anything by Rizzo at this point, but I do tend to agree that they have the arms back there. Hopefully over the next 2 months they'll develop the maturity and the experience to go forward with what they got there. But I wouldn't be completely surprised to see Mike Rizzo go out and get something either. But as Dave and you have discussed in recent shows, a first baseman / outfielder might be a better thing for the Nationals at this point if they're going to go out and get something. But we'll see what they do. 21 days to figure it out. 46-39 on the year after they dropped their third straight, 2 to the Reds, 1 to the O's now, 2 more before the so-called first half of the season is over. Nats Nightly is sponsored by the District Sports page and federalbaseball.com. Hopefully by tomorrow they'll have gotten rid of this awful DH idea and they can play real baseball, but I don't think so. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. I'll talk to you then.
Go Nats.